Welcome to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host. Thanks so much for joining us here on the program. Over 10 years of doing this particular program, nearly 40 years of interviewing people and talking with them, and this program comes your way every Sunday at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m., Monday mornings at 1 a.m. We stream live at richarddugan.com during the radio broadcasts. We archive the podcasts, as I like to phrase it, at richarddugan.com, the radio show's page. On SoundCloud, just search for Richard Dugan, or soon to be on iTunes. So we encourage you to check out those locations. Also, a link to our guest's website will be made available as well at the radio show's page and also the schedules page prior to their appearing on the program. So we encourage you to investigate, check out our guests, see what they have to say, see how much more information they have at the website. And I think that you will be greatly surprised at what you find. I think you'll really enjoy it. I know today I'm going to enjoy the program because I was thinking about this as I was coming in to do the program. This particular program, and we've had this guest on at least once, maybe twice before, this particular program is going to be the best-smelling program you've ever listened to. Allison Stillman is my guest, and she is, you would call yourself an alchemist as well?
An aromatic alchemist.
Aromatic, yes. Alchemist. And I bet you you smell great right now too, huh?
Actually, I smell great most of the time, I have to say, because I'm always reaching for essential oils and they're always fragrancing me in one way or another.
You know, I've been learning more and more about fragrances, essential oils and so forth, and their impact and effect on an individual. So we're going to kind of start there. If I were to grab a particular scent, I'm going to ask you to identify, and I don't know if I don't know it. I don't have a list here in front of me that tells me this, so I'm going to ask you to enlighten us. If I grabbed some fragrance, essential oil or otherwise, and it made me feel anxious, what might that be?
Well, there are a couple of different things. First of all, I would only recommend grabbing an essential oil, as fragrances are not always true essential oils, and they can be adulterated with things like alcohol, which many people have an aversion to. And so I would just start there. And then I would say that depending upon what's happening to an individual in their lives or the kind of work that they've done on themselves in their lives, an essential oil, if it triggers a reaction, I've had maybe in 40 years, I've had maybe two people that were genuinely allergic to a particular essential oil.
Oh, wow.
So it's very rare, and I've seen thousands of clients from around the world and taught workshops for the last 25 years, so that's a small percentage of people that have been allergic to a true essential oil.
Now,
I'm just leaving that as a caveat. Mm-hmm. That said, most of the time when people react in more of an adverse way to an essential oil, it's generally due to the fact that it's triggering some emotional reaction.
Okay.
Because essential oils have the ability to affect us very deeply, not only in the emotional and behavioral centers of the brain, that's generally the first place that you feel a reaction from an essential oil, but also it triggers the amygdala. And the amygdala is a gland in the brain that stores long-term memory, and the only way to access it is through the sense of smell. So it may trigger an old memory or a feeling that has been long since forgotten, maybe for a good reason, but maybe it's time for you to take a look at that issue or that memory. And it also can bring up a lot of deep subconscious programming and belief systems hidden in the subconscious. So that's generally what I see if people smell an oil and they go, oh gosh, I don't know if I like that.
Well, I know that I met a woman many years ago who had allergic reactions to darn near everything, whether it was her laundry soap or fabric softener, whether it was the dish soap, whether it was, for that matter, when she would walk into a building, many of the materials that are used that give off different kinds of toxins and so forth, that you and I probably wouldn't even think about it.
Mm-hmm.
She was working toward what she referred to as homeostasis. That was one of the things that that was a phrase that she used.
Mm-hmm.
I know that in my own home, my wife loves to burn incense, and I can only take so much,
mm-hmm.
But I love having certain fragrances, frankincense, and I think that I don't know if the Catholic Church uses frankincense in their rituals, in their masses or not. I know that in the Eastern Rite, they would use one of those cisterns and they'd swing it and the smoke would go everywhere. And I became very comfortable and familiar with that. So we've actually been able to find that. But if there's too much smoke, it can get overwhelming. We have these candles that we will burn that will give off a wonderful, gentle aroma in the house. Vanilla is wonderful. Lavender, terrific. There are several others as well. I know that, I don't know if these fall in this category that we're talking about here, but I know that sometimes cinnamon or even nutmeg, obviously around the holidays, for example, when Christmas and Thanksgiving and New Year's and so forth, when baking is going over the top, you can have those aromas throughout the house, and it's wonderful. What a wonderful memory. But there are some fragrances, some aromas that some of them are pretty obvious, but some of them aren't so much so. And some of them you can't even smell, and yet they're in the air. You've been doing this for over 40 years. How do you test for or become aware of those allergens, shall we say? Of an individual to where you're able to counter them with a balancing fragrance or aroma?
I prefer not to focus on the negative.
Okay.
So I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that because you threw out a lot of information there and I want to address some of it.
Please.
Because I think it's really important. First of all, yes, the Catholic Church does still burn frankincense resin in the church, and they have a container. It's called the thurible, and that's mm-hmm. what they swing in the church. And the resin tears are gathered from the sap of frankincense trees, the best of which comes from the countries of Oman and Yemen. It's very difficult to get that particular frankincense anymore
mm-hmm.
for a lot of different reasons. But that kind of instigated a great desire to want to have fragrance around us. And the reason they chose frankincense is because frankincense is a psychoactive essential oil.
Excuse
right?
me? What?
It's a psychoactive essential oil, which means it induces visions and deep states of meditation. So when you walk into a Catholic church or an Episcopalian church, the high Episcopalians also are still burning frankincense, it sets a mood or an environment where you can go deeper into your faith and your belief, and you can have these visionary states of deep meditation and prayer. So
wow.
Frankincense happens to be one of my all-time favorite oils. It's one I would never live without. I have a very large stash of Omani frankincense that is really just for me. I don't share it with clients because I want it to last the rest of my life.
I understand. 55. There's a 55-gallon drum back in the back somewhere.
There's a good stash of it, but I do have other sources of frankincense. They're starting to do a lot of conservation and teaching
mm-hmm.
African tribes how to become sustainable by growing frankincense trees so that we can continue to have that essential oil. So back to what you were saying about your wife burning incense in your home and burning candles, that's a great way to set a mood because it's affecting the emotional center of your brain. However, an even better way to fragrance your house would be to buy a diffuser and to actually diffuse the essential oil into your home, because what happens by doing that is that you're actually getting the live molecules into the air, and you're breathing the live molecules. So it affects you not only emotionally and behaviorally through the sense of the smell, but you're also inhaling those live molecules into your lungs. And there's some great benefits to that, being that they're antiviral, antibacterial, they're calming, they're anti-inflammatory, analgesic, hundreds of different chemical constituents in those molecules. But it's great because it also affects you on a physiological level by inhaling it as well. So that's my primary recommendation, is to actually get the oil into the environment.
So going back just a little bit, and again, I do understand a direction you don't want to go. I get that. But I was born and raised in the Catholic Church. Mm-hmm. When I married my first wife, I attended the Eastern Rite, the Byzantine Rite of the Catholic Church, where they used a great deal of incense. And it was very comforting, maybe a bit more from my childhood when I was attending the Byzantine Church. And there was just something about, I did not have any idea of that kind of an effect. That's a little scary, but we'll move on from there.
Could explain an awful lot. Don't think of it as being scary. Think of it as being actually a route to get to your own divine essence and your divine presence, right? Because it's taking you deep into the spiritual part of who you really are.
So you don't think there was any malevolent
Absolutely
intent.
Not.
Okay.
Absolutely okay. not. No, I think it was the highest intention, and I think it still is the highest intention. You know, if you look at really how frankincense has been used in the Catholic Church, it's not only as a way to sanctify the church and the sanctuary. And when you're sanctifying and consecrating something like that, you're making it declaring it divine, right?
Right.
So when you walk into that energetic, you're completely enveloped in this sanctifying, consecrating essence, and you're walking into your divinity. I like to say you're really walking into your divinity, right? And
mm-hmm.
so when the Catholic rites and a lot of the sacraments were created, which were based on ancient Egyptian practices,
mm-hmm.
they're taking the actual oil and they're anointing you in a baptism, in a confirmation, in a last rites ceremony, right?
Yeah.
And they're rubbing that oil on you, and they're consecrating you, and they're making you and declaring you sacred and divine. So how much better could it get than that?
You know, I love that explanation. I absolutely do. And it's been a long time since I've participated in any of the sacraments, but I still have, unlike many folks that I've run across who are ex-Catholics, I never took that. I'm just not practicing.
Right.
I have a great love for and the traditions, the rituals, all of those things. And this sort of leads us into the next part of what I'd like to talk to you about. And that is your first book, Sacred Art of Anointing. We have lost, and I think we talked about this in our interview several years ago. I'm almost thinking it was 5 or 7 or 8 years ago.
That'd be about right, I think.
Yeah. We talked about the importance of a ritual and ceremony in our lives, and then to incorporate, as you have so beautifully elucidated about the Catholic Church and frankincense and so forth, and the oils, the anointing, how important a ritual and ceremony and traditions of that nature are to us, not as individuals, let alone as a community.
Yes, I cannot express more highly how important I believe ceremony and ritual for ourselves is, particularly in our world today, because it's gone a little haywire. And so if we can start our days, and maybe even in the middle of a crazy day, take 5 minutes and just take an oil out and just bless yourself and just consecrate yourself and bring yourself back to the truth of who you really are. We get so lost in our monkey minds and our day-to-day activities that we forget sometimes. And even just a little anointing ritual where you anoint your heart with an oil or anoint the top of your head and you're moving into that place of saying, I am this divine being having a human experience. And then we don't take it so seriously and we don't get so involved and it's not so hard on us being in this crazy 3D world, right?
Yeah.
So just simple little ceremonies like that can make the world of difference. But the other part of it, too, is that everything in this world, if you study any quantum science, you see that it's all electromagnetic frequencies, right? And we're living in a body that vibrates somewhere between 50 to 75 hertz, right? That's our vibrational frequency when we're in a healthy state. When we get stressed, or we don't eat right, or we have some traumatic event happen, or we're exposed to environmental toxins, it lowers our vibrational frequency. And essential oils carry a very high vibrational frequency, some of them exceptionally high. Rose oil, for example, vibrates true rose oil that hasn't been adulterated, that, you know, Bulgarian rose oil, has a vibrational frequency of 320. So the moment you put that drop of oil on your body, it's raising your vibrational frequency. So it's lifting you up above the stress and the turmoil and the lack of sleep or whatever it is. So there's not only an emotional component to it, but there's also an actual physical frequency change that happens in your body when you're using these essential oils, which to me is one of the greatest gifts that we can have.
Yeah. Well, obviously, with the folks I've had on this program, we've discussed this whole aspect that everything has a vibration.
Mm-hmm.
And that even if you were to compartmentalize the physical body, even the different parts of the body can have their own somewhat unique vibration, mm-hmm. but that the whole body itself also, and that I've even heard it said, and I think I've experienced this, especially because of where we live here in Santa Barbara. If you can find a nice, quiet place as far away from flight paths and highways and so on and so forth, you can almost hear the Earth's vibration in a hum.
Yes.
And the thought just occurred to me, there are sometimes I hear this high ringing tone in my ear, but that's something else entirely.
I think that's too much rock and roll music backstage. <'cause I'm> the same thing.
You know, there would be those folks who would want to know, well, gee, how did you get started? We could go that direction. Actually, I want to know why. Why did you go down this path?
I had no choice, Richard. I've been doing this for lifetimes, and I came into this world, and the only place I found sanctuary in this world was in nature, in my grandmother's garden, in the woods, and I communicated with trees and plants and flowers, and my greatest joy, my sanctuary, was in nature, and it compelled me to want to study that natural world. I studied botany and horticulture in school, and, you know, 18 years old, I came across my first essential oil, and that was it for me because it was a very life-changing experience. And I believe the oils and the plant essences pulled me into it. I had absolutely no choice. There's so much synchronicity and so many magical, miraculous things that showed up in my life that said, this is where you're headed, this is where you're going, come follow us, come learn about us. Mm-hmm. And the experiences just took over. I really was compelled. I had no choice. I was led down the path in this direction.
And I'm curious as to when we talk about, and I want to try to stick with one term here if I can,
sure.
Fragrances or aromas? Which are we talking about? I know they're kind of the same thing, but when we're talking about everything, because you mentioned essential oils, but there are scents that come from other things as well. What about certainly individual scents, solo, wonderful for different things, wanting to induce certain, shall we say, states of consciousness. What about combinations? Can there be contraindicators, not necessarily of a malicious sense or a negative sense, but just that, no, when you combine those two, that really doesn't give you what you're looking for, in spite of the fact that separately, this one gives you this and this one gives you that. Combining them doesn't necessarily make it better.
So there's a couple things there that I'll speak to. First of all, the essential oil is what gives fragrance to everything, everything in the natural world. There are synthetic perfumes, but we're not talking about any of that. So the essential oil is what gives fragrance to everything, food, plants, flowers, grasses, roots. It's the lifeblood of the plant. It is responsible for the fragrance or the flower or the food. So for an example, when you look at an orange or a grapefruit, it has all these little dots in the skin, right?
Mm-hmm.
You've noticed that? When you go to peel it, it has this fabulous fragrance. You think, oh my God, this fruit smells so good. It's not the fruit. It's actually those little dots. Those are the sacks of essential oils in the rind of the fruit, and that's what gives it its fragrance. The fruit itself doesn't really have much of a fragrance. It has a flavor, but it's also the essential oil that gives it the flavor. It's the essential oil that tells it everything it needs to know in order to flower, to fruit, to die, to go dormant, to bring color to it, to bring flavor to it. The essential oil is responsible for all of that.
Wow. Matter of fact, I was just thinking about, as you're sharing that, I'm thinking, yeah, when I'm peeling an orange, all of a sudden I'm smelling the orange scent. But if I juiced an orange or I bought a bottle of orange juice, I've sniffed it before, I don't really smell orange per se.
That's right.
I never even put that together. Now, when I taste it, if it's been in the refrigerator too long, yeah, I can tell that, okay, this is going out.
Yeah, most people don't think about that.
Wow. Fascinating. So, now,
so let me just answer your other question, too, because it's a good one. So, of course, it takes years of study to know how to blend properly and the different notes of oils and what blends with what and what their characteristics and properties are and how they affect us on a physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual level. So it's not an easy task to say, yes, you blend this with this, and you blend this base note with that high note and that middle note. And there's so many factors that determine what you're going to mix together, because it's, first of all, what are your symptoms? What are you experiencing? What would you like to achieve from it? That's primary when you're making your decision as to what oils you want to choose. And then you want to look at the base, middle, and top notes and get some sort of a blend of those, because the base notes are the fragrance that's going to last the longest. The middle notes are the secondary. And then the top notes are things like the citrus oils. They're very light and they dissipate very quickly. So while you can have a citrus oil in a blend with a middle and a base note, it's going to disappear very quickly, and then you're going to get into the middle note, and then that'll disappear. And then the last thing to diminish is going to be your base note, so that'll last the longest. So depending on what you're addressing will be the choice of what you use. Does that make sense?
It does. You almost sound like a vintner who is...
Well, it's very similar. It's actually very similar.
Yeah.
It's very similar in music, and it's very similar in foods. There's a very symbiotic relationship between all of those things and looking at the different flavors. I don't know if you've ever really spent time thinking about layers of flavor in food.
I will say this in that respect, that one of the things that my wife and I, because we love watching some of these cooking programs with Graham Ramsay. And one of the things that we took away from those programs was the whole aspect of not combining the various elements of your dish until it's time for them to be served, because you don't want them to marinate and commingle together until they're on the plate and are ready to be eaten. And then you get a much different experience. And I'm thinking that maybe the same kind of thing applies in making different kinds of wines, as well as combining different fragrances to achieve different, different results, or again, different states of consciousness.
Yes, I like the layered effect. So, you know, I live up in Northern California now, and there are some great farm-to-table restaurants and really excellent chefs. And one of my favorites is really adept at layering flavors. So maybe the first thing you taste is that spicy, peppery flavor, and then you get this subtle herbal flavor, and then maybe there's a sweet flavor in there, and there's a tart flavor in there. It's the same kind of thing when you start blending oils. You know, you're going to smell one thing first, and then as you continue to smell it, you're going to go, wow, this smells entirely different now, and you keep smelling it, and a whole other layer will reveal itself to you. And so that's the beauty of blending, is you get that, the different layers of flavor.
Mm. Well, to me, it's kind of cool because we are going to have different experiences, not just of the different individual solo fragrances or aromas, but then when you start making those combinations. And obviously, you've been doing this for a long time, so you have been able to, in a manner of speaking, experiment. I'm curious as to how much of your intuition goes into some of these, say, combinations where maybe someone comes to you and says, look, I need some help with feeling calm. I've got high blood pressure, and I'd really like to. It's a mental thing. It's not a physiological thing. They've done all the tests, and yet I still have high blood pressure, and I know that it's in my head.
Yeah.
Can you mix something for me that can at least assist? I'm going to have to do the work. I already know that. I have to do the internal work. But is there something that can help me to just maybe calm down? Maybe I can put a little potpourri in, hanging from the rearview mirror of my car, as well as maybe hanging off the side of my computer when I'm at work, da-da-da-da-da.
Actually, they have diffusers now for the car that you just insert into the lighter that diffuse oils into the car.
Nice.
Yeah. I want to get the oils in the environment. You know, I don't mm-hmm. want dried flowers or whatever it is.
Okay, forget the potpourri. Forget the potpourri.
Yeah, I'm always going to go for the essential oil. That's just my world. And yes, for me now, it is all intuitive. There's no logic, there's no mental, there's no intellectual when it comes to creating blends. And I do that a lot in my coaching practice, where I'm creating blends specifically for issues that people are going through and helping them transcend that and reprogram hidden belief systems. And it's all intuitive. And I've gotten, you know, over the years, I've seen so many clients, I know exactly what's going on with them, and I lead them into it. I want them to discover it for themselves. And it's all intuitive. It's just the oils have taught me. I have such a strong relationship with them. When I do my sessions, they tell me what oils. They say, we want this, we want that, we want to do this, put this here, put that there. It's like, okay, I just say yes. I get out of the way and I let them lead the show.
Hey, that's like this program. I don't have any questions. The universe is asking the questions. I'm just along for the ride.
Right, exactly. That's exactly it.
And it's a lot of fun. It really is.
Yes,
Allison
it is.
Stillman is my guest, and she is a teacher, author, minister, and acclaimed aromatic alchemist. She also has been a student of aromatherapy, alchemy, and spirituality for 40 years, has also deepened her connection to love her entire life. And we've referenced her first book, which was Sacred Art of Anointing. It was the first of its kind. And I'm curious, when you first started learning, what schools did you go to? Because this doesn't sound like something that's available, you know, at any of the UC colleges or community colleges. It's almost like you'd have to go out into the woods to this small little hobble where this old crone lives, and she's going to teach you all about alchemy and aromas. And
that's kind of how it happened, actually.
Really?
Be told, yeah. Well, back in the day when I was really really getting interested. You know, as I said, it was 18 that really I got impacted in a big way and set me on the quest to learn as much as I could. There was nothing out there. And again, this was before Google. This was before Facebook. This was before the ability to do any online research. And so the first book I came across was a book by Jeannie Rose, which was written in 1979 called Herbs and Things. And I learned a lot from that book. And again, before email and computers and all the rest of it, I actually wrote her a letter and said, I want to learn from you. You have a lot to share. Will you please teach a class? And so I took a class from her and started learning about aromatherapy from her and said, oh my gosh, distillation. Yes, let's do that. And so we ended up going up to Lavender Farm in Buellton and doing a distillation class, day-long distillation class. And that, you know, that started me. I just became obsessed about learning. And over the years, all these synchronistic events happened. I met Gary Young at a party in Santa Barbara 25 years ago when he was just starting Young Living, which is a huge company now. And he actually invited me to his farm, and I spent a week with him. And then I started seeking out all the great masters. I studied with Valerie Warwood and John Steele and Robert Disserand and Kurt Schnabelt, and I surrounded myself with the masters. And then I sought out all the world's top distillers, and I learned distillation, and I continue to surround myself with a tribe of aromatic people. And I want to continue learning as much as I possibly can. So there's a tribe of aromatherapists that we kind of all stick together and we learn from each other. And it's an ongoing learning process. There is a vast amount of knowledge that has been revealed in the last 20, 30 years. And so there's a lot to know about it. And I'm still a student. I really am. And I do know a lot. And I've done a lot. I've done clinical studies. But there is a lot to know about this world. It's very complex, very vast, broad expanse of knowledge.
I got to say, it's awesome because of the benefits that you bring to people, the help, the support, assistance that you give to folks, as we've discussed, to move forward in their lives, to raise their consciousness, even if it's just raise it above the level where I am no longer going to be upset and frustrated over the way other people drive. I'm just going to relax in my car here. I'm going to be aware and alert and drive defensively. And, you know, I'm going to get from point A to point B safely. And I'm going to make sure that the people around me also have the opportunity to get to from point A to point B safely. It's not my responsibility, but I'm going to at least give them the opportunity by not doing anything silly. We're going to take a quick break here. First of all, thank you so much for giving us the time here on the program. And I want to let our listeners know Allison Stillman is the website, AllisonStillman.com. We're going to talk more about some of the different aromas that are out there, but also some of the things that she has learned that she will share with us here on the program. I'm Richard Dugan. This is Tell Me Your Tell Me Your Story, not Snorri. We will be back in just a couple of moments, and we hope you'll stay with us here on the program that brings you new paradigms for a new world.
Tell me your stories. I'll do my best to understand you.
Welcome back to the best-smelling radio program on the airwaves today. It is a program where we're talking with Allison Stillman. You know, they jokingly talked about this on, I think, a comedy program called SCTV, Smell-O-Vision. and I have a feeling that the way that
artificial intelligence?
No, not artificial intelligence. It's that, virtual reality.
Oh,
where
yeah.
You can experience in a real sense, you can almost feel the things that you're going through, but there is no, it's like the brain is saying, oh, you just touched a table, but the table isn't really there. Well, the next thing, of course, is because we can talk on Skype and we can see each other, I venture that eventually we're going to be able to send aromas and fragrances through the digital conveniences that we have today.
Absolutely. In fact, they did have a computer that had the ability to illicit smell. And I'm not sure what happened to it. It was quite a few years ago, and I haven't seen anything about it since. So I know the technology exists. It just hasn't been put into practice
yet.
Oh,
my gosh. Wow.
I know, right?
That is pretty wild. That really
it's
is.
Pretty interesting.
You know, you were talking before about this aspect of your education, your learning, your, shall we say, upbringing as an aromatic alchemist. And you do this for a lot of, I want to say a lot of different reasons, but I'm curious, because you said that you didn't have any choice. And of course, the first thought came to my head, who put a gun to your head and said, you're doing this? But it's kind of like we talk about the promptings of our intuition or that still small voice, you know, and I jokingly say to people, you know, if you're going to listen, then you ought to follow, because if you're not gonna, why listen?
Right.
And I've had experiences where I don't want to turn left at this corner. I really don't. And eventually I tell the experience of where I went a half a mile down the road and I actually turned around. I went back. I made the turn I was supposed to make and continued on. Nothing happened, at least because I went back, but at least the prompting went away. I mean, at least because it just got stronger and stronger and stronger. So I have no clue as to why, but that's kind of how I'm feeling that you are experiencing when you say, I didn't have any choice. It's like,
let me explain that a little bit
Please.
Better. Because from the time I was a little girl, you know how people always ask you, what do you want to do when you grow up?
Mm-hmm.
What do you want to be? Who do you want to be? And most people say, oh, I want to be a doctor. I want to be a veterinarian or whatever they say. My answer to that question when I was very small was always, I just want to give and receive love. And it's an unusual, well, people would say, well, you can't do that for a living. Well, actually, that's what I do for a living. And I've always looked to things that can raise my vibration into the frequency of love. That's the state I want to live in. And I have never found another tool that is more powerful for raising your vibration and leaving you in a state of love and bliss and divinity than aromatherapy. It is the most powerful tool I've found for transcending our humanity. And it's the reason I wrote my book. It's the reason I'm teaching. In fact, I'm just launching an online program because I've had so many requests to teach again, launching an online class tomorrow, The Sacred Art of Aromatherapy, because I want to share it with as many people as possible, because I think it can really change the world and change people's lives. And that's really all I care about. So when I say I had no choice, this was the best vehicle for me to get as high as possible in the state of love and to share with as many people as possible to get them to that same place too, for them to have that experience. Because imagine what the world will be if we could have everybody anointing themselves and raising their frequency and recognizing that these are divine human beings, spiritual beings having a human experience and living in this state of grace and ease and abundance and love. What could be better than that?
Oh, absolutely.
Right?
And I have to say that I have participated in ceremonies over the years, not just in the masses and confession and communion and confirmation and so forth. Haven't done the last rites yet. I'm holding off on that one for another 40, 50 years. But I have always felt such a profound sense of honor at being a part of something like that.
Yeah.
And then incorporating, again, the anointing and of course, the various fragrances that might be wafting through the air. Let's talk about anointing, because obviously your book, The Sacred Art of Anointing. I've been through the various rituals within the church and, you know, being an Ash Wednesday when Easter rolls around, you have Ash Wednesday and you have the cross signed on your forehead with the ashes, which is probably mixed with some oil. But let's talk a little bit more in depth about the significance of anointing and how it assists us or might might change us in some way. I mean, if we're really into the experience.
Well, you know, it's interesting because, as I said earlier, the act of anointing is taking an oil or a blessed water and rubbing it onto someone or something and consecrating it. And when you consecrate something, you're making or declaring it sacred and divine. So the very act of it has been practiced for thousands of years. Thousands of years,
mm-hmm.
right? And so there is this morphogenetic energy to doing that ritual or rite or ceremony, and we all have been exposed to it, rather in this lifetime or not. I'll tell you a really interesting story. I took care of an elderly aunt, and it was in her last stages, and the day that she was passing, I was anointing her body with frankincense. Now, we didn't grow up Catholic. She had never smelled frankincense before. I had never anointed her with frankincense before. And frankincense is traditionally the oil that's used for last rites. And as I was anointing her heart and she got a whiff of the fragrance, she suddenly relaxed. Her body completely relaxed. And she said, "Oh, I remember this fragrance." Now, she had never smelled it in this lifetime, but she remembered the art of it, the act of it, the ceremony of it, and the fragrance of it, because it's been used for thousands of years to provide people for this journey home, right? So it was familiar to her soul. Her soul remembered it. And I've assisted many people in their passing, and it's the same story every time it happens. So... This is something we have done for thousands of years. It's familiar to our soul, and it is a sacred ritual that empowers us in the remembrance of who we really are.
And that's an interesting phrase that you use. I remember asking, and as far as our human evolutionary process, are we ever going to reach a point where, you know, we'll, you know, finally know who we really are? To which my guest responded, "No, we're going to finally know who we've always been."
Thank you.
And I thought, now that's an interesting and more accurate twist, if you will, because there are folks such as myself. I've had my DNA tested, and it confirmed what I've been telling people for decades. I'm Heinz 57. I'm from 5 of the 7 continents. And the only ones I'm not part of are Antarctica and Australia.
But your body is.
Yeah, the body. The body is.
Yeah, that's not who you are.
No, you're
just in a body.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But what it did was it reinforced my feeling of connectivity, if you will, to the peoples of the planet, that I'm not from one or two or three specific places as far as the physical body. I'm from all over the planet.
Right.
So I sort of can connect and or relate to most of the folks around the planet in that regard. But from a spiritual standpoint, and that's maybe where I'd like to go next, in terms of the spiritual awakening that aromatherapy and using aromatic alchemy in terms of our spiritual growth. I mean, we are still talking about that, but can we go further in depth into that? And what have you seen as you've worked with people who come to you? What kind of have you seen some really profound changes in folks?
Absolutely. Life-changing. It's so transformative. I always sit and wonder. In fact, I had a client who came yesterday, I usually sit with people for an hour or so, and we smell some oils, and the oils elicit deep subconscious memory. And the things that came up, and she was crying and remembering things and feelings and emotions and programming. And she said, "I didn't even know that was in there." And that's what most people say. "I had no idea I was living at the expense of that." And it's usually programming or belief systems that we borrow as little ones in order to fit into this world. We buy into the beliefs of our parents and our family and our community and mass consciousness in order to fit into this world. And a lot of those beliefs we borrow are false. So that's how we become human. And then we spend most of our life from the age of about 6 to 24, 25, depending on how much college you get, developing our intellect. We spend the entire time in our brain. We don't spend time in our heart. We don't spend time developing our consciousness. We don't spend time developing our souls. We spend time with our mind, and the mind is the smallest part of who we really are, right?
Oh, it is, yeah.
Yeah, and so what I've found is that the oils are really brilliant at getting you deep into the heart of who you really are, getting you beyond your mind. That's such a small part of us. And really opening you to your subconscious and the hidden belief systems that really run you. Because what's hidden in your subconscious, those old belief systems and programming and paradigms, are the vibration that you're sending into the world, and that's what you're attracting and creating in your life. So if you want to change your life, you have to change that programming and those subconscious beliefs. And the oils just cut right to the chase. They go, oh, you're feeling unworthy, you're feeling insecure, you've got carrying guilt, you know, this belief that there isn't enough, or money doesn't grow on trees, whatever it is, right, that we're suffering from.
Mm-hmm.
It's all beliefs that we borrowed. And most of them are false.
Yeah. Now, I've been through some different sessions lately. I went to one gentleman, and he did under hypnosis, a Life Between Lives session, which was really fascinating. I would lay down in the chair and kick back and so forth, and he'd take me through the process and ask me questions and so on and so forth. And sort of guide me through the process. So I'm wondering, is this something similar to what you do, where you have someone come in either A, they're asking for something very specific, or saying, help, how can you help me? And you immediately jump into that intuitive mode and say, here's what I'm getting, and so forth and so on. Do you sit with them for a long? I mean, I know you just mentioned that you sit with them for about a period of time, but is this a something where someone would come back to you for maybe two or three sessions to sort of reinforce what it is that they're wanting to achieve, to get them to where they would like to be as far as their consciousness is concerned, and so forth, or at least get them going in the right direction?
So I offer two individual sessions. I have a private anointing ritual that I do, which really is a rite of passage, and people were with me for about 4 hours.
I like that.
And their souls lead them to me. So they know when they're ready to let go of old programming and patterning and really transform and go to the next level, that's when they show up. I also have a conscious alchemy program, coaching program that I do as well, that is online because I have a lot of clients international that can't get here. And so how we work with that is that we'll do a Zoom session or a Skype session, and we do some pretty deep inquisitive work and look at what they're running up against and what they're being challenged by. And then I'm pretty adept at getting them right down to the heart of the matter. And then we look at ways to change that programming, and I'll create a custom anointing blend that they'll use to rewire the neurons of the brain in the emotional and behavioral center and set a new memory into the amygdala. And also, there's affirmations that generally go along with it to reprogram the subconscious. Because what I've learned is that the subconscious acts very much like a computer. So when you buy a computer, you've got specific software programs that are loaded into your computer. And then pretty soon you're downloading iTunes, and you're putting videos on, and you're putting photos in your in your computer, and then you're adding more programs onto it. And after a while, you run out of memory. There's no more room,
yeah.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So you're just running those same old programs. And all of a sudden, this brand new iMovie comes out, and you go, oh my gosh, I want to make iMovies, but I have no room on my computer, right? So you're thinking in your intellectual mind, yeah, I want to create this new iMovie. This sounds so great. So what you have to do is you have to kind of short-circuit those old programs, kick them out so that you can put a new one in.
Mm.
And the subconscious is very much like that, too. So working with the oil and specific affirmations that are created cooperatively together, then we can reprogram the subconscious and also the neural pathways of the brain with the oils. And then after 30 to 45 days, you create this new habit, and you don't have to even do the affirmations as much as just smell the oil, and that memory is imprinted in your brain, and you just go, oh, I am rich, lavish, unfailing abundance. That's right. As soon as you smell the oil, you associate the oil with that feeling nature in your body, and you can create a new reality.
Hmm. I want to ask you also about, I'm looking at your website, I'm looking at your products page, and you have artisanal blends, and you have some for passion, connection, abundance, love, peace, envision, as well as meditation, breath of life, real ease. Sounds to me like that would be the one for my high blood pressure. heart scent, custom signature scents. But what I want to ask you about is this, and this goes back to what I was sharing earlier about this woman that I met many years ago, and I did some projects for her, audio tapes at the time. They were cassettes, actually. And she was telling me about, and even talking in the context of these programs that I was producing for, how she went to various manufacturers here in the States where she wanted to get her essential oils from. But she wanted to make sure that what she was getting was pure. Now, mm-hmm. what she did was she actually traveled to the place, the farms where they would pick. And then, of course, then they would take them inside to dry and so forth. And what she found was that she wasn't getting the pure stuff, not because they were doing anything mischievous, but because they were doing something unconscious. They had this large warehouse, and at one end of the warehouse, they were laying out all of the lavender, and they were letting it dry. And then somewhere in the middle, they were laying out whatever the next plant, and so on and so forth. And she says, you can't do that. You can't have the same stuff, the different things in the same building, because they, to use the phrase, they contaminate one another. You know, part of the lavender is going to get into part of the rosemary, is going to get into part of the sage and so forth. And so you don't have a pure thing. How do you ensure that what you're infusing, what you're creating, because you put these together for folks, that what you're putting together is, you know, really, as I'm going to use the word pure, as is possible?
Well, as I said, I searched out the master distillers in the world, and I buy directly from distillers, and I know my sources. I know where they come from. So I want the highest, most therapeutic grade essential oils I can get, because all of my work is vibrational,
mm-hmm.
right? I want to raise the frequency. I want the highest frequency oils I can get. So, like I said, you know, I've been going 40 years now, so
yeah.
I've been in a lot of circles. I've traveled all over the world, and I've met the leading masters in this field. And so that's my standard.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So when you get these oils, these essential oils together, and you are ready to prepare and create something for an individual, a very mm-hmm. unique fragrance, what is the process that you go through to prepare yourself to be in the right frame of mind to infuse that with your vibration?
Well, I have a whole sanctuary that's devoted to my aromatherapy world, right? And so I go into my sanctuary, I light the candles, I have great music on, I anoint myself, I also have a beautiful collection of singing bowls. So I do a pretty rigorous meditation. I've been meditating since I was 15. So I have a pretty strong meditation practice that connects me in. I also have a whole posse of angels that I work with, so I invoke all of them.
I like that, posse.
And then I, you know, I'm intuitively called. What oils? That the oils tell me. You know, I tune into the person and I review who they are, what they're going through, and I totally bring them into my meditation. And then the oils start saying, oh, we need to be in there. Oh, we need to, oh, we need this. You need 7 drops of this. You need 21 drops of this, or, you know, whatever it is. And then afterwards, I also consecrate the blend. So I hold it, I put my energy into it, I put blessings and prayers into it, and then they go. It goes into the singing bowls. And if you know about sound, mm-hmm. it changes the molecular structure of things. And
right.
so by putting it into the singing bowls and doing these tones into the oil, it actually raises the frequency even more.
Mm. Yeah, I remember.
So,
go ahead.
So that's the process.
I remember the Japanese scientist who put out the pictures of the various...
Masaru Emoto.
Yes.
Yes.
I think he's since passed, but fascinating discoveries of what you've just described. And we've had many programs with Jonathan, I believe it's Goldberg.
Goldman.
Jonathan Goldman. Beg your pardon. He and his wife have been on this program numerous times.
He's great.
We've talked about this whole aspect of sound and its influence. We even got into the conversation because I was really introduced to this whole aspect of sound therapy and so forth. Through a concept, if you will, or a theory, it was called the Mozart effect. And I did some research on it, and of course, it described what it was all about. And then I read another article poo-pooing it all and going, well, okay, fine, that's your opinion. But my question was always, why Mozart? Why not Beethoven, Bach, Rachmaninoff, Tchaikovsky, et cetera, et cetera? Some of these other great composers, why Mozart, you know? And just he was just chosen. But I remember back in the 80s, I was living at that time in Phoenix in a trailer. I'd get off from work, and I was a member of a classical music CD club. And I would put on one of these CDs, and I'd lay down on the couch, and I'd just fall asleep. And it was great. I mean, it was, and I still have all those CDs and so forth. And there's just something about that, the tenor of some of these composers and their works that are just, they're wonderful to listen to.
So translate that to the world of essential oils,
mm-hmm.
because the music that you're listening to is composed of notes, right? And when you put certain notes together, it creates a chord, and then you create melodies and harmonies. It's the exact same thing with essential oils. You put certain notes together, and they create a chord, and they create harmony, and they create melodies. And they're very similar, and they affect the body in a very similar way.
Mm. I have to tell you that this is something that is so intriguing to me. It's so interesting, and at the same time, it can be, going from day to day, so frustrating when we come across individuals who have a particular, they'll even be wearing a cologne or perfume, and it's like, oh my God. Do you still have any left in the bottle?
Yeah.
Or you're walking down the street and you will pick up certain aromas, or somebody is smoking. They're smoking a block away and you're still getting that, and so on and so forth. I've often wanted to go up to them and say, excuse me, I'm not a smoker, never wanted to be. Would you please, you know, if I wanted to smoke, I would, but I don't want to inhale the smoke that's coming out of your lungs.
Right.
But at the same time, and I actually posed this question in regards to food in particular, things that we ingest, and of course those things that are not so good for us. Well, if everything is energy, if everything's a vibration, what difference does it make? Well, I've been getting an education over the years that it does make a difference. What
yes,
you
it does.
Take in through your senses, and that's why so many of us get out on the road sometimes and we're oblivious to everyone else around us because we're being impacted by all of those, whether it's the food that we just ate or drank, whatever beverage it was, or maybe the cologne we're wearing, et cetera, or the people that we associate with. All of these elements bring these vibrations into our close sphere and have an effect and an impact on us.
Yes, absolutely.
And that's why it's so important to choose what you want to have in your life.
Well, and that's another thing that I'll say about the essential oils, too, is that they actually affect the electromagnetic body that circulates around us, and they can be a very protective force when you're out in the world. And I did a lot of experimenting with that with a mutual friend of ours, Pam Oastley, who reads
yes.
the auras
mm-hmm.
of the body.
Very familiar with her.
Yes, you are. And we tried different oils and put them on and anointed ourselves, and we found that it really empowered and strengthened our electromagnetic field, which means that when you're out in the world, you're not so vulnerable to all of those energies. So I do not leave the house without anointing myself because I want a very strong field. I don't want to be transmuting other people's depression or anger or whatever it is. I want to have a strong force field around me when I'm in the world. So it's a really powerful tool to enable that to happen.
My wife's an empath. And for years, from the time I met her, she would have a lot of difficulty, and she used to think, she would always ask me, is there something wrong with me? Is there something wrong with me? I say, no, there's nothing wrong with you. It's these people that you're working with.
Right.
Because she was picking up on their stuff.
That's
and
correct.
Did not know how to protect herself.
Yes.
Now, she's gotten better at it, but she's not using, I mean, one person even suggested, oh, well, you ought to be having with you or wearing around your neck maybe a smoky crystal, you know.
Right.
Or so forth and so on. So I'm curious, what is this something that is very individualistic that, you know, you just don't, okay, so Allison, what can I get for my wife that will protect her? It's so individualistic that you would need to connect with her in order to intuitively create that protective essential oil for her.
Well, no, not necessarily for that particular desire. Lavender, frankincense, and blue chamomile are the strongest psychic protective oils.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I will mention that to her, too, because she is an herbalist, and she has been studying this for years, so she knows about all of these different things, but this would be something wonderful to add to her, so to speak, to her arsenal of sorts.
And I'm going to add something else to that, too, because it's something that I've learned over the years from my angels and mm-hmm. from other people's angels as well. And that is that we all come in with a guardian angel, and we live in a free will zone, and they do not interfere with us here unless they're asked to. You've often, I'm sure, heard of stories where the guy falls in front of the subway and calls out, "Help!" And he's magically lifted in, you know, off the tracks before the train hits him.
Right.
Well, the guardian angel will only come if you call for them. So I've learned, and I've shared this with for the last 20 years with clients who actually have noticed the difference by doing this. So I just call forth my guardian angel to surround and empower me so that nothing but love and light sticks to my field.
Now, that's the key right there, is calling on the call, because they're there. I think that's one of the things that a lot of folks, they have trouble with that, because it's sort of been, I guess this is the right way to put it, it's been taught out of us.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Well, I've just had such strong experience. I believe it 100%. You will never be able to convince me otherwise because I've had direct experiences of it. You know, some people don't believe if they don't have an experience of it, but if you don't practice it or try it or invoke it, you'll never have an experience of it.
Right, exactly. Yeah, and
yeah.
I've always find it funny in one sense that, I've had these conversations with folks who, talk about how, you know, we learn pain and so on and so forth. Well, there was the paradox. It's like, okay, you come in as an infant, and if you have to have an experience of something before you can really experience it, then how do you have the experience in the first place? I mean, it's just, it's like, it's a circle that you can't break, and it makes no sense.
You have to get out of your comfort zone.
Exactly. Yep. Exactly right.
Yep.
This is, again, great stuff, folks. I think that you should go to the website, AllisonStillman.com, find out about all this stuff. One final question I wanted to ask you in particular about one of your folks that's on your products page, doTERRA. Tell us a little bit about that before we wrap up here.
Yeah, doTERRA is a company that it's a network marketing company, much like Young Living, that's been around for about 8 years now. And I recommend them for single source oils. I don't carry single source oils. I'm not interested in becoming an essential oil distributor. So I have that as a reference for people because I believe that the quality of their oils is exceptionally high. They test their oils. They source them in a way that you can track where they come from, and you can track the entire chain of where they come. So it's a program called Source to You, which means that you know exactly who grew it, who distilled it, and then it comes to you, right?
Yeah.
And the other thing that is even more important to me is that they're doing a lot in the world of conservation. They're teaching indigenous people how to grow plants and distill them, and they're doing a lot to maintain the availability of essential oils because they are becoming more rare and endangered. So it's a pretty high integrity company. So I have that as a resource for people to buy single oils.
Well, I encourage folks to go to your website and get more information, not only about you, but also about the folks who are you are connected with. And certainly I think that folks can trust the folks that you're connected with, because this is something that I'm greatly intrigued by, because anything that we can provide to our listeners that will help them to, I'm going to use the word evolve, move forward in their lives. We want to make that available. I mean, doggone it, I don't know where we're going next. I'm hoping we're going in a good direction. I'm hoping that we're going in a positive direction. But I will tell you that if there's something that, and even if I was to view it this way, Allison, if there was something that I could put into my environment that would automatically affect my disposition, shall we say, I'd want to have that in my environment.
Absolutely. Why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't
absolutely.
You?
Absolutely.
Yes, absolutely. I also want to invite people to, I have another website called Sacred Art of Aromatherapy, and it will bring people to a description of the online programs that I'm launching to, if they want to go a little bit more in depth with learning about essential oils. This is a new offering, and I finally responded to the many requests from people to teach more. So if anyone has an interest in learning more, they can go to the Sacred Art of Aromatherapy.
I did have one other thing I was going to ask you. I mean, you mentioned that you've been doing this for a very long time, and certainly there were no teachers when you were doing this, or at least they were limited.
Very few.
Very few. So I'm just really curious as to how you perceive the area of aromatherapy and alchemy and so forth. How have you seen it grow? I mean, are there now, instead of 10, there are 100, 1,000 people now that you're aware of or that you're connected with who are working towards the same goal as you of trying to help folks to, you know, move forward in their lives and help others as well, teach them.
I think there are certainly hundreds, maybe thousands of people that are, I'm going to say hundreds, that have a long, long years of experience, and there are millions of people using essential oils in the world today. And I think with more and more time, we're going to see more and more very educated teachers that are in the field bringing more wisdom and knowledge. There are lots and lots of scientific research that's emerging more and more all the time. There's a great vast wealth of knowledge around the science of aromatherapy. So as time goes on, there's more and more people.
Well, we encourage folks to go to your website, alisonstillman.com, get more information, pick up a copy of the book as well, and maybe even contact her to get you an essential oil that you can use to maybe reinforce certain things or diminish, get to the core of things. Obviously, with Skype and all of the different things that are out there, you've got the opportunity, Alison, to assist folks remotely. And I think that's a terrific thing. And we thank you so much for taking so much time to share with us.
Thank you so much, Richard. I always enjoy our time together and going deep with each other. So thank you for having me on the program. I've just enjoyed our time.
You are very welcome. I'm Richard Dugan. This has been Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. Until next time, love to Lal.